This week on Two Noobs, John and I review recent comments made by Philadelphia Flyers head coach John Tortorella on whether the current batch of NHL players are dumb. Then, headlights on cars may be getting a much-needed upgrade. It wasn't for the administrative state's red tape. Next, a robo-taxi is set on fire in San Francisco for reasons? We'll explain. And yet more problems for electric cars in 2024, as certain Cybertrucks are becoming more like rust buckets from the 1970s after a good rainstorm. I don't know about you, but how about we start that music? Hey everyone, welcome once again to another episode of Two Noobs Talking. It's episode 177. You're probably asking yourself, hey, wait a minute, you don't sound like Steve. Where the hell is Steve? Well, that's a very good question, and I'm going to answer it for you. Steve is away. How about that, Johnny? He's away. He left us, the bastard.
He is not locked in my basement.
No.
for all you Eminem fans.
He's coaching his son in a youth hockey game, I think, in a tournament somewhere. I think in Bethlehem,
yes.
Something like that, right?
Yes.
So dealing with all kinds
somewhere.
Up in the northern area, and probably under a foot of snow, from what I understand. So, yeah, it's pretty bad up there. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just the original guys, the OGs are with you. John and I, happy to be with you guys. Episode 177. John, how you doing, man? What's going on?
I am doing great.
Yeah,
everything's great. It's Texas. It's cold as hell, and it's going to be hot as hell in 2 days. So it is what it is.
There you go. Yeah.
I'm used to it at this point. Hoodie, not hoodie. It's fine.
Yeah.
I'm used to it. I might stay here forever.
There you go. I mean, you might as well, since you're down there. I mean, you know.
And I don't hate it. So, yeah.
You don't have to worry about hoodies or anything of that sort. Only when it gets really, really cold, and it's like, oh, man, I wish I really had it. You know, that kind of stuff. But, yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, things are good here. Hanging in there.
Good.
More than anything else. Just took a brisk walk outside, and it's blustery. It is absolutely blustery out there. But yeah, man. Yeah.
Love that you're wearing the old school 37 there. That's beautiful.
Beautiful. I always loved Desjardins. He was my all-time favorite. As you know, he's my all-time favorite defenseman. And
rocking
the 37. Just follow me wherever I've gone. And I've still worn it every once in a while.
Was it a Desjardins? When we went to a Flyers game, you got a jersey. Was that the Desjardins jersey or was that another jersey?
I think what happened was I got it was the old school Flyers. So it had like the, thing across the middle. And I think I might have gotten it and then put Desjardins 37 on the back later.
I think you might have had the jersey before the game.
Yeah.
And then you got it put on when me and you went.
Something like
that. That's what I think. Yeah, that's what I think. I distinctly remember you getting something printed along.
I mean, I had both the white and then, of course, they had like their alternate black. And I both got Desjardins 37 back.
Of course,
I mean, I was just like, my God. So yeah, when he was, I was a big mark for him. So there you go.
Oh, big guy. Well, I mean, me for Danny Brière, I had the original when Danny Brière signed with the team. I pre-ordered the original black Danny Brière jersey that I had given to a child many, many years ago because I grew out of it. But man, it was a hot jersey.
That's a sweet jersey,
especially with Danny Brière on the back of it. Man,
oh,
what
my
a player.
Gosh! Yeah, what a great signing that was back in the day.
One of my favorites.
Hey, quick little admin, since we were alluded to this, or actually I was alluded to this by Steve before he left, bastard. sharp-eyed viewers of our podcast would have known that there was a little scrolling text as we were going over what you know, the whole thing with the Super Bowl trivia that you had, and I had done a little bit of a mistype there in edit. It was Super Bowl 52 that the Eagles and Patriots played in, not Super Bowl 51. Doy, one against the two. John, you know, seriously, it's like one key over on the keypad.
I'm not mad. I wasn't mad. It's all in fun.
And then you were correct. We did find out later that there were, in fact, 9 separate times that there was a repeat Super Bowl. It wasn't 8. I had mistakenly thought, oh, wait a minute, there are 8 separate you know, times we all got to go, but there were nine total games.
That was such a weird fact.
Yeah.
In itself, because the article, we talked about this in pre-production, the article that we that I reread was like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, when I read it to you, I was like, I don't even know why I thought that made sense the first time I told you. Like,
exactly.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah, oh my gosh, it was crazy.
Idiots.
Yeah.
Idiots in the media get everything wrong.
Yeah, so hopefully we've cleaned that up, Steve Murray.
Yes.
So I hope we're happy there, bud. But yeah,
yes.
Couple of admin.
So let's get to the W Energy fun fact.
Yeah.
Sponsored by W Energy Drink. It's W.GG. You put two noobs talking. I won't spell it like Steve does, because if you can't spell two noobs talking, you probably shouldn't be listening to us.
Yeah.
You'll get 10% off your order. They have a lot of fun stuff, which I don't know any of it because I didn't check my email this morning because I was busy. I apologize. But W.GG, you can get some free stuff off of us and the fun fact Matt has.
Yeah. This was an amazing stat line, Johnny, which is amazing. Jaromir Jagr, right? One of the all-time greats in the NHL and still playing professionally.
Yes.
Crazy yes. that he is still playing professionally. He's like in his 50s. He's still playing. He's like the next Gordie Howe, I should say. This came from NHL.com. 38.6%. That is the percentage of all players in National Hockey League history that Jaromir Jagr has either skated with or played against in his entire career. 38.6% of all players in the NHL. So that comes out to essentially 3,287 of the 8,510 players that have appeared in at least one regular season or playoff game in National Hockey League history and playing with an NHL team. I mean, what do you think about that, John? That's just insane, the amount of stats.
Make him the logo, because I don't even think that I don't think you find that ever again. That's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. Yeah.
Get small him with a caveat. Bullet
flying in the back. That'd be great.
Yes. Yeah. Small caveat. The league was extremely small for many years, but that's nor here nor there. I'm not gonna say that. If any, my advice I would give to the world off of this fun fact is, if you are 37%. To 50% a part of your organization, you're pretty damn good at what you do.
I would say.
He's 38% of the people that have played in the league have either played and have seen him on the ice. That's insane.
Crazy. That's insane.
He is the greatest of all time. I gave up the Gretzky thing years ago.
Oh, interesting.
When I got to personally see Jagr in a Flyers uniform, was the first time I actually I cared about seeing him play. Normally, I was just bitching about him playing when he played for the Penguins against the Flyers because I wanted the Flyers to win. And I wasn't that good of a hockey fan back then.
Sure.
But when I got to see him with the Flyers, like day in and day out, like watching him play hockey, I had a whole different respect for. I love Gretzky. I think Gretzky is one of the best. I think Lemieux was one of the best.
Yeah.
But man,
what he's done,
Jagr is in that conversation all day long.
He's definitely within the Mount Rushmore. And if he's not, he's definitely in the Valley of the Presidents as one of the all time greats in National Hockey League history, not just within
the last 20 years. He's in the top five.
Easily. Yeah.
And I might be able to argue him all the way to the top.
To the top.
And with Steve's help, I think we could totally get him.
I don't doubt that at all. Yeah. I mean, it was magic when he was here for a couple of years. And it was like, I remember when they signed him, it was like, holy crap.
Fun.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. It was him when Giroux and they were making magic on the ice all the time. And you look back on some of those shifts that he had with Giroux in the playoffs against Pittsburgh. It was remarkable. He wasn't the top scorer that he was, but he was still a threat out there. It was just amazing to be producing at the level that he was producing.
Through each part of his career, he learned how to play a different style. Because he never played... Jagr never had... He had a style when he was younger. But Jagr adapted his style to every generation's style, which that's what makes him... Gretzky didn't do that. Gretzky was a passer, and he was a scorer, and then he was a passer. And he was the great one was always great, but
yeah,
he didn't adapt to the situation.
Tell.
Like
yeah, you could definitely tell. Whereas Yager just kept going and going and going. It just seemed like it was the Energizer Bunny. It's really amazing what he's done. Yeah,
that's why he's still literally playing right now.
So Johnny, I understand you've got the over 40 rant. That's unsponsored by our fine podcast. But what do you got for me, man? What lay it on me? What's the matter?
Talk to me. this is actually therapy hour with Matt and John.
What's going on, man?
So since we're having this conversation, and me and you are conservatives not that Steve isn't, but I'm just saying, like, me and you are outwardly conservative, and we get really offended by conservative radio when they just miss the mark when they're, you know, just like the left, like we like to, you know, hit them, but we also like to hit the conservatives when they just miss. And I want to go to, I listen to a lot of conservative radio because I live in Texas, of course. I live between San Antonio and Austin. So there's a huge radio station here that plays nothing but conservative radio all day. And it's normally on my work truck when I'm, you know, driving back and forth.
Yep.
And I was listening to a specific Clay and Buck show, and I don't know which one it was.
Okay,
but I don't mind that show. They are very right. Just so you know, they are very right. They are very against the radical left. I'm not gonna try to candy coat it and say, oh, they're down the middle. They are definitely not down the middle.
Not down the middle. Yeah.
Know your enemy. You need to listen to the left and the right to find out what is going on. So that is something that I do.
Sure.
One of the guys on the show missed the mark so bad. I want to bring it up to you. So he believes that the only way to save the country is to have the left completely admit they're wrong and that the right is right.
Oh my god.
I was listening to while I was driving, and the audible curse words that came out of my mouth when he said that was, what the, did he just say? And he said it twice, which made me, I mean, it locked in my brain. For us to be the country that we want to be, which he's meaning the right wing, gun-toting, doesn't understand the Constitution, but likes to quote it every day.
Yeah.
To be us, we need them to shut up.
Yeah. Where is the sense of humility, right, at the end of the day? There is no humility. And that, I completely agree with you, John, with your reaction, because they always have had this tendency to say, they give in. They never, admit, that they're wrong about anything, it just seems like. Yeah. But yeah, I think you're spot on the money. It's like, what we need is a sense of humility on both sides.
It would help. Yeah, it would absolutely help.
Massively help. Yeah, and that's probably one of the biggest things as to why I don't listen much to conservative talk radio anymore, because I know the game that they play. I already know the left is, they're wackadoodles, and they've always been that way.
It's pretty easy to see that.
And it's pretty easy to see that. But at the same time, they need grace. They need to know and understand what grace is all about and forgiveness. And, not to make it religious or anything, but they need to understand that, because it's not that not everybody that you encounter on the left, got news for you. If you're leftist that's listening to this, not everybody that's out there is a racist. Not everybody. Okay. There are some really good people in this world. If you just stop and listen to people and just just let them talk and let them just vent what they have to vent. And
absolutely,
you're empathetic and you understand, okay, this is where I am. This is where I'm coming from. This is where you're coming from. And you try and just, you try and commingle as best you possibly can. But not everybody's a racist.
Don't ask for your. What is your party affiliation? That's not that. Hello should come before that.
Exactly.
But that's what I. That's what I feel that the right and the left are pushing at the same time is they're playing identity politics because they're not smart enough.
Yeah.
To get in the middle and actually mingle and talk about the border or talk about any of the issues. What they want to do is they just want to sit on the sidelines and throw things in the middle and try to be relevant, and they're not.
To get to your point too, John, the Daily Wire, right? It pops up into my feed. You know, my feed. So I don't hate one.
I don't hate the Daily Wire, but I take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, I agree with all with this one. So they were talking about Taylor Swift, right? And oh God, she's like a pop star who's gone left. You know, she's like a feminist icon, blah 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 blah, and going on and on about her. And then one of them piped up and said, "Yeah, but don't you think conservatives should shut up about her because she might want to have kids? She's 35. Yeah, she's probably looking to have it." And it was like, "Oh yeah, 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 that's right." And then they all kind of. You know,
they missed their talking point. There you go.
They missed their talking point. It was like they were bashing her for about 6-7 minutes, including Candace Owens. So I am considering now that she's a racist on top of that. I have no problem.
I'm not a big fan of her at all.
But then on top of it, it's like she's bashing her for 6-7 minutes. And oh yeah, well, we ought to shut up about her because she might turn conservative. So which is it? Right?
Just leave it be. Yeah. Just leave it be. Why are we playing identity politics? Exactly. I think that was my biggest point of the whole thing is just, God, I think who isn't full of malarkey in this day and age on the media that isn't privately funded?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Someone's peddling an agenda somewhere, and you have to be able to like discern that and pull that out, basically, and stuff like that.
Good point.
Well, speaking of dumb stuff, Johnny.
Yes.
Shall we dive into topic one as we go into a little bit of the transition here?
Look at that segue.
This is amazing, right? We have John Tortorella, who's a coach of the Philadelphia Flyers, doing an amazing job year two. Third place team right now. Big stadium series game as we're recording this, heading into with the New Jersey Devils. Pretty big in the division. We got a chance to, you know, expand the lead.
Terrible jerseys, but we'll get to that next week.
We'll get to that a little bit. Yeah, probably when Steve gets back next week. But in any event, he's got opinions, and he's talking about young National Hockey League players. So apparently framed around all this article here from Sportsnet, talked about Riley Gregg of the Ottawa Senators came in, empty netter against Toronto. It's a huge game up there. It's like a rivalry game.
Yeah.
And he's skating with the puck. Ottawa's up 4-3. Toronto's pulled their goaltender. He has the puck, he's skating in, he's all by himself, and he takes this wind-up slap shot and buries it into the corner, into the net, which then sets off Morgan Riley of the Toronto Maple Leafs, who then cross-checks him in the head. Down he goes in a heap. Huge brawl then starts to fight, and, you know, at the end of the third period, it's near the end of the game, big fight. Morgan Riley, their best defenseman, the Maple Leafs, gets suspended 5 games. So Tortorella just has this comment here, and I just loves it. He says, well, it's a dumb league. It is. It's changed for coaches. Yeah. And we've had to make adjustments because there are so many mistakes being made. And he goes on, he says this, and this is a great quote. I guess the thing with the young athletes is sometimes you have to wait your turn as far as gaining respect and not wanting everything right now. Not expecting everything right now, as far as ice time, as far as your contract, whatever it may be. Sometimes it's just good to wait your turn and earn it. I think that's where the athletes have changed. They have entourages around them. They're directing them, but they're directing them the wrong way. I mean, Johnny, you and I have played hockey. Thoughts on this? I mean, this is an amazing quote.
Absolutely. It is the reason that I brought it up was because I think I using the word dumb, I'm not a big fan of.
Yeah.
But to be honest, using that word, it is a dumb league. It is a young league. And it is, to be honest, we are getting older. It's a younger world. So there are mistakes being made by young people that are taking the place of the people that are retiring because they learn. You don't have the same NHL anymore. The cool thing about sports is you kind of get that, like, the Fletcher Cox are leaving, but the Jordan Davises are coming in kind of thing. And you get a couple years of learning under that belt.
Right.
The NBA is the same way, that you have some of the older guys that are teaching the younger guys. You don't do this, you don't do that. But The NHL is a little different because of the influx of the team. There's more teams, there's more players. So I think they're a little younger of a league.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, I totally agree.
Just by watching the play, I don't know if that's statistically right, but just from watching the play, it seems like the juniors kind of got to the NHL quicker than you would say the D-League came to the NBA, or that's a lot less players. So that's a...
I see it
in the NFL, too. You see it in the NFL, too. There's a lot of dumb mistakes.
And definitely, I think, to your point, the quality of play, definitely, if you're talking NFL, has definitely gone down, I would say.
Way down.
I mean, it is not the same when I was first... You could even just pull it up. You could even pull up a game on YouTube looking at some of these games from, like, even 20 or 30 years ago, and the quality of play is so much better as compared to now, where it is more of a passing league where you're, like, going from here to here to here, and you're barely making a tackle, if anything. You're not getting these people to the ground, where there is better schemes back then in 30 years, where it's like they're running into stuff where it's like you're going to get an explosive hit and that kind of a deal. But to Tort's point, I totally agree. I think there is, you know, it's interesting as we get older, you see things because we've lived through it, and it's like, oh, that's something we shouldn't be doing. And we know it, we've learned that lesson. And I think to your point, Torch is kind of being the elder statesman here. He's seeing the player as kind of like, I've got all this talent in the world. I can skate fast. I can shoot. I can pass. I can hit. But how do I use it wisely? And I think that's where he's getting at. I think in this quote here, where it's like, it's all about using your talents in a more wise fashion, as opposed to just going out there and just like run amok. And you learn from your mistakes, yeah, but at the same time, it's like you have to know when to use it. Know when to use it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I know exactly what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Like, it's, there's a time and a place for everything, but at the same time, it's like you have to learn from your mistakes too. I think Steve would even say, even with his son, it's like watching them play, it's like, oh gosh, you shouldn't be doing this, but there's only so much you could do from the bench too. In that regard, you know what I mean?
But growth of a young player, you are more susceptible to coaching,
yeah,
and coming back and checking on the coach and making sure. I understand what he's saying, as it is a dumb league because you don't have the ability to coach the way you used to. In a way, I feel this is a societal problem, not just an NHL problem. People aren't looking for mentors. They already know. They have the internet, so they're like, well, I already learned this, so I don't need to come into an opportunity. I don't need to come into this opportunity not knowing something, because I can be ready before I'm ready. And that's not how the world works at all. You have to take your humble pie before you can succeed anywhere in any industry.
No question. Yeah. And I think that, you know, further on in the article, Torres basically just said, respect how you handle yourself in the room, on the ice, how you act. You may say it's old school. I just don't think we can lose what it is to be the proper pro in the National Hockey League. And I think he's exactly right to your point.
He's 100% right. 100%.
Yeah. I mean, the game will definitely change. But again, it's all about you're passing on from one generation over to the next generation to the next.
Yes.
And I think the idea of the entourage saying, no, don't do what the elder statesman is telling you to do.
Yes.
That's the problem. And I think that's where it's like, you know, you're talented enough. You're good enough to get past whatever Torts is telling you, whatever your coach is telling you. You don't always have to listen to your coach. And that's the problem. Yeah.
And that's where it gets sloppy. And you can see it.
Yeah. Yeah. So more than anything else, it's like how... I think from the youth, John, what would you say? Like, I know when you and I were playing, right? Like, we watched players and we were like trying to emulate the game, I think. And we had the luxury of seeing.
We respected the game.
But we did.
Me and Steve did a ton of coaching of young fellows.
Yeah.
And I wish I had my mindset now and I could go back to that time frame.
Yeah.
Because I think I'd be a hell of a lot better than I was.
Yeah.
I would love to see, from what I've learned over the last 25 years, taking myself back to those moments because
for sure
it's valuable to grow people in themselves. And that's what I mean by the only thing I don't like about Tortorella's comment is that he said dumb. He could have said young. He could have said anything else. Like,
yeah,
I'm nitpicking when I come to that, but he is 100%, 100% right. And it's a respect for the culture. It's a respect for the game. It's a respect for the people that laid down. But you can look at it in the wrestling business. You can look at it in any business you're in, that if it's a successful business, you need to look at the culture and you need to abide by the culture, because that's how companies that have been around for hundreds of years, leagues that have been around for 60 years, that's how we've survived, because people come in and they formulate to the culture and change things if possible. I mean, Jaromir Jagr changed the way we played the game.
No question.
Because he was better than everybody else.
Yeah, no question about it. Yeah, you're right on the money there. And I think that's probably the most important thing to keep in mind. Is that, there are certain things that can you take it to the next level, but it's that next generation that can make the league even better.
Yes.
By taking that next step ahead, learning from what was learned 20, 25, 30 years ago.
It doesn't look like that kid learned anything, because he did exactly what they did in the 80s and the 90s. If you disrespect us, I'm going to... The problem is they haven't learned how to protect each other. You could have knocked that dude on his behind and not hurt his head.
Exactly.
But what you did is you hit him with a stick and you're an idiot.
Exactly.
Because that's not how that works.
Yeah, it's something you put in the memory file bank at the end. It's like, okay, you're going to do that. Next time you have your head down, watch out, pal.
Yeah, I got you. I'll physically impose my body on you in a respectful, in a gameplay way. No, because the league is dumb, like he said.
Yeah.
You cross-check him in the head.
Yeah.
Which is the dumbest thing to do.
And don't always look for that retribution immediately. That'll come, you know, that kind of a deal. But yeah, good point. Hey, John, I mean, as you crack open another beer, I love it. I should drink another beer.
Just for you when you were
starting. I love it. How do you like the more elbow room? I mean, you know, no offense to Steve.
He's this side. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think he is that side. Yeah, exactly.
But I might be this side, so I'm doing this to Matt now. I don't know.
Exactly.
Don't know. We don't have Steve in pre-production to order us like the leader he is.
So. Yeah, exactly.
We're on our own.
We're on our own.
Making waves.
Woo! We're on our own. Well, John, as we get older, as we talked about in topic one, topic two, I don't know about you, the astigmatism is definitely prevalent in these two eyeballs.
Definitely got my reading glasses on now.
Seriously, right? I mean, it's crazy. It's like, I don't know what's going on. But when I drive, I can definitely see the astigmatism like popping in, because I see the headlights and it's like, about you, it's getting like brighter and brighter and brighter. So we have this CNN article here, left wing. by the way,
but kind of is.
I mean, to be perfectly honest, John, I am so sick and tired of like when I go to a CNN like article and it pops up, hey, do you want to sign up for a newsletter? No, I just want to read an article. That's all.
Because we don't have anybody. We need help.
Exactly. Please, for God's sakes.
Fox News is doing the same stuff.
Same thing, which is annoying. So it's kind of like a half opinion, mostly opinion slash some newsy.
Well, CNN is all opinion, so it's an all opinion article. But
yeah,
I agree with everything they're saying. They're talking about these extra bright headlights.
The headlights, which are crazy.
Whatever the hell they are not normal headlights. They are not headlights that come standard from when we were learning to drive.
Like, what's amazing here?
What are they doing? This is my question to you. Like, what are they doing with these headlights? Like, why are they so damn bright?
That's a really good question. Yeah, especially with the LEDs. The LEDs, I think, are the more brighter of the two, as opposed to like just the regular, your typical regular halogen headlight. But they're basically saying here that in Europe and Asia, there's something called an adaptive driving beam headlight technology, or ADB. And it's, of course, it's been readily available for years, but according, thanks to our administrative state, it hasn't been instituted yet.
Well, of course, they're idiots.
You have your boy Pete Buttigieg over there at the National Transportation Safety Board.
Don't make me go off. Like, don't make me go off on Buttigieg.
So apparently, it's a lighting technology. This ADB is a lighting technology available in other parts of the world, Europe, China, Canada, not in the U.S. though. It shapes the light coming from headlights instead of scattering all over the road. It shapes it. So if a car is coming in the other direction, one is driving ahead of you, the light stays precisely away from the vehicle. Can you imagine that?
Now, can you put in post-production, can you put up the thing in this article that we were talking about? Like, amazing how these headlights work. This would make me want to drive at night because the shadow it creates behind the car shows you that the lights aren't affecting. They're bouncing around it. It's technology I don't even understand. I mean, you and Steve are way smarter than me. You can tell me what exactly it's doing, but really it just looks like it's better.
Yeah. It basically, the key crux of this paragraph of the article, I'll read it. It says here they can actually shape the light coming from headlights rather than scattering it all over the road, which I think is problem number one in that regard. If there's a car coming in the other direction or one driving ahead in the same lane, the light will stay precisely away from that vehicle. The rest of the road is still covered in bright light with just a pocket of dimmer light around the other vehicles. This way, a deer, pedestrian, or cyclist by the side of the road can still be seen clearly while other drivers sharing the road can see as well. So it's not like you're getting blinded all of a sudden. It's like it adapts. It's almost like it sounds to me like, and it would be interesting to see what Steve would have to say, you know, maybe after he views this episode, but it's almost like it's like moving away. It's almost like there's a little camera that moves it and directs the beam towards the road as opposed to just shining brightly.
So it's
bathing the road in front of you. That's kind of a deal.
That is kind of cool. I mean, this photo, as you've seen it, it's amazing. That looks so cool. It was an alien, not an alien. That's another episode. An aerial drone photo that shows this car turning a corner and the other car coming in, and it's not blinding the car, but it is definitely illuminating everything around it.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's like some of these headlights are sold in some of the luxury cars in America, but they lack the software to perform the way they're designed to.
Well, of course they do. China Joe understands that. Of course it's in the luxury cars.
So it's kind of like an already but not yet kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it was like, and of course it talks about, well, U.S. auto safety regulations simply don't allow for adaptive headlight technology at all. Of course they don't, because
they don't want you to, write your congressman, and they don't want you to vote for the plausible candidate. They want their candidate in. So of course this will go well.
And CNN covering for the administrative state says this, but quote,
but because the U.S. regulations are so different from those in other countries, with requirements so difficult to meet,
maybe we ought to stop with this, the difficult requirements, right? CNN, right? I mean, seriously, come on now. The automakers can't offer it here.
I'll tell you a quick story of the administrative state actually in Texas shutting down and doing proper.
Yeah.
Just so you can kind of understand what we mean by regulation. So when I moved to Texas, what I do for a living, I had to file my findings to a state paperwork site. And it used to take 2 hours. So I would work all day and do 2 hours worth of paperwork. Oh. Well, as you know, Texas went way against the rest of the world the last couple of years.
Yep.
And the other agency that took it over, it now takes 15 minutes because they dumped it down. They got rid of all the red tape. They just want to know what they want to know, and they delivered it well and quick. And that's what we're talking about. This red tape bureaucratic bullshit is the reason we don't have real headlights.
Exactly.
Joe could write, if he could write, could write down on a piece of paper really quickly to eliminate all these regulations.
Yeah.
And it would be, voila.
Yeah.
It would be done. A congressman could write a law that says we're going to follow this regulation instead of this regulation. We're going to give it. It's the follow the money.
Yeah.
The and people that have the shitty headlights are where the money is. The people that don't have the money have the cool headlights. That's what we mean.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it really is amazing. And of course, like it goes on in this article saying that the industry sources, car industry, didn't want to speak on the record about the regulatory issues. I'm sure because
they don't want more regulations shoved up their wazoo. Buttigieg would literally tell Ford they need 17 more wheels just to put a car out on the road if they went against him. That's not hyperbole. He's that crazy of a transportation guy.
Yeah.
That dude would blow up his own house just to spite everybody else. Like he is so bad.
Like East Palestine? You mean like East Palestine?
Yeah, he's so bad at what he does.
Yeah, yeah. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that town. It may be disappeared, but don't worry about it.
Yeah, it does. We don't know what those chemicals are.
It's really amazing. It's like the current rules, just looking at this, require the ADB headlights to respond extremely swiftly after detecting another vehicle within reach of the lights, much faster than other standards require in the EU and Canada. Also much faster than a human could switch off an ordinary high beam headlight. Wow.
You're talking seconds.
Milliseconds. And that kind of technology, although
we have that now, but the
millisecond technology, though, that's the thing. I think what the NHTSB is really asking for is like nanosecond technology. And to be perfectly honest, that's just not there yet.
What I'm asking for is deregulation, because I think that's BS.
Yeah, I agree.
If you're driving, if me and you are driving on a road and our high beams are up and we're driving directly at each other, I guarantee you that we could get our high beams off before we would blind somebody just because you're paying attention when you're driving. And that's also, that also goes all the way back to training people to drive instead of just giving people driver's license at 16 and saying good luck.
Yeah.
That's not how it should work. Reduce regulatory for this and put regulatory over there would might work, but this is how dumb the administrative state is. It really is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. One thing though about deer, they're just still going to continue to go. Doesn't matter.
I run into them all the time.
When I pick up my
coworker in around the town that where he lives. I live right outside of town. He lives inside of town.
Yeah.
The cool part about these deer, though, I have a big truck because I'm driving my work truck.
Sure.
They respect that thing because it's 10 times bigger than that. But you know what I mean? Like, so I don't have a deer issue as much as I've been driving a little sedan through. I'm sure they're,
they're
like, kiss my butt. I'm walking across the street.
Yeah. So we're hoping that the ADB headlight technology does make it to the United States. I think we just need a change in the presidency in order to have that happen, Johnny, to be perfectly honest.
I think you're 100% right with that.
Yeah. Oh, man, John. One of the things I love about this podcast is the interchangeability of the hosts. We could just kick Steve out for 1 week, and it's like you and I are just like, okay, we're just doing this.
We're having a good time. Right? We miss you, Steve, but...
Yeah.
We can get through this. Yeah, I hope the games are going well, and you're...
Yeah,
you're,
crossing fingers.
You're coaching your butt off.
Yeah. Telling kids, don't do that. Do this. You know?
Yes.
Don't,
do better.
Don't call them dumb either.
Yeah, don't call them dumb. Don't
exactly.
Think that they're dumb, but don't call them.
Exactly, right. Well, John, as we go rolling on here, we got another
Our website. We got to pop our website?
Hell, why not? Let's do a quick tour of the website.
TwoNoobsTalkingWordPress.com. Check it out.
Hell yeah.
You'll get last week's episode, this week's episode, if you check it late.
There you go.
And it will kick you back. I believe Steve got us all the way back to 140 or...
100%.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's also links to the YouTube area where if you subscribe, we have 90 subscribers. Get us up to 100 or 200 or 300. That would be awesome. Thank you for the people that subscribed recently. I appreciate it.
Hell yeah.
And audio, we are everywhere you need us to be. We are on iHeartRadio. We are on Google Podcasts. We are on Apple. We are on, YouTube Music. We're totally on that. Anywhere. I mean, we're literally, people have told me we are places. They mentioned it, and then I was like, well, check if I'm on there. And then they do it. They're like, this is the most obscure podcast website ever, and you're on it. And I'm like, cool, so we're on everything. if you can find us on your obscure podcast, RSS feed is supplied for you on the website, or just email us at twonewstalking@gmail.com, and we will send it over to you. Or anything, just email us, and I'll respond to anything. I don't care. I'll talk to you all day if you want me to.
I'm just going to let you sit back and just kill this promo, Johnny. That was awesome. That was awesome. The only thing I've got to say is if you would please leave us a 5-star review. I mean, we work hard on this, but yeah, we would love it.
Like, share. Well, Matt works hard. Me and Steve along for the ride.
Just trying to do a little heavy lifting.
Yeah, like, share, subscribe, especially on YouTube. Please subscribe. Please. If you're safe.
So why don't we turn the page here, Johnny? I mean, we got, I don't know if you've noticed, but there are some robotaxis running around there in San Francisco causing all kinds of problems.
They
have to dodge all kinds of shit that's on the ground and, homeless people getting all drugged up.
And you actually do mean shit.
Legit. Stuff. Yeah. I saw real quick before we move on to the article, Maher, quick, like, short little video on my YouTube, and he was talking about, like, apparently the city of San Francisco wanted to put, like, a toilet, like, one toilet in, like, outside of City Hall, basically, for the homeless people to go and use. Cost the city $2 million.
Okay. Couldn't you feed the homeless? And house the homeless for $2 million? I mean, not all of them.
John, come on.
Not all of them, but, like, you could. Could you at least, like, create a situation? It sounds like $2 million. You could probably do something there.
Johnny, one step at a time here. I mean, come on.
So we need to spend $2 million on the toilet so we can tax us more and spend $2 million on the thing that I'm talking about.
One thing will lead to another. Come on now.
Why don't we just not worry about the shitter and move on to the actual helping of the humans? I don't understand.
I don't know. Why not? That kind of a deal. But anyway.
Sorry for my logic. I'll see myself out. I'll go.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah. I'll just talk to myself over here.
I'm sorry. $2 million.
Just crazy when I heard that out of him. But
that is funny.
Robotaxis, though, Johnny.
Yes.
I think San Franciscans are having enough of them, causing all kinds of problems. Apparently, one of them went up in flames, vandalized, set ablaze in the Chinatown section of the city. They basically just went in there, had enough, and someone tossed a firework inside of the car. The firework blew up and caught the thing on fire. It was fantastic.
Two Noobs Talking does not condone the vandalism and violence that has happened, but we also kind of like it.
Fortunately, nobody was in the car because it was a car.
You are right. Nobody was in the car. To this technology, I sent Matt and Steve during pre-production. I sent the article from the summer of the Austin area taxis that caused a couple day long traffic jam because nobody knew what to do because there was no humans involved.
Yeah.
And that's not me like watching iRobot over and over again and think that I don't think that the world's getting taken over by robots, but I also think if you program robots and you don't manage them in a proper way, they're going to do dumb stuff like they did in Austin. And I think San Francisco has found this out and the people are revolting. And
no doubt about that.
I don't vandalize things, voice your opinion, but I'm also going to kind of laugh at this because
I think they're at their breaking point, to be perfectly honest. It's not justifying this behavior. However, this video, apparently there were videos that were posted. We're not going to show it, but it's basically someone with a skateboard just chucking it at the windows of this car. The rooftop sensors on this got all out of whack as a result of this. And then someone's paint can all over the place of the car. And then someone tosses the firework, blows it up. Love the LA Times article. The motive for the attack is unclear. And police say that the fire is under investigation. You don't say, really.
Could this be
that. The motive for the attack is unclear.
Could really. This be people being fed up with the BS? Absolutely.
It might be.
But
yes.
but LA Times, you weren't when they were shooting guns at police stations and
police officers in broad
daylight. Police officers in broad daylight back in 2020, we weren't getting this kind of love. But since it hurt your sensitive agenda.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
Please don't blow up these cars, but I can understand. This is a rage against the system because this is this is unwanted by society. This kind of wackadoo, and I'll tell you why I'm saying this. This wackadoo, humanless robot ideology that they have.
Yeah.
Every morning I show my coworker. We drive a long time. Trust me, I drive a long time and Google Maps runs my life. Okay?
Multiple hours. Just so everyone knows about
it. I watch Google Maps all the time, at least 5-6 times a day, will tell me that a route is slower if I get off an exit, turn around, drive backwards, get back on the freeway, and drive forward. It's slower.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
That's who's programming these things.
Yeah.
Just think about that.
Yeah,
it is an option on Google Maps to go slower.
Yeah.
Just got to be all-inclusive.
It's got to be exactly. Exactly. It goes on with this article that, of course, they're famous too. San Francisco, same thing. Woman got pinned underneath one of these driverless cars. The car continued to keep going with her trapped.
Yes, which they should have pulled these cars directly off the market immediately.
And which they have. Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is an imperfect technology. Imperfect technology.
Yes.
If I can get that word out. A famous host of this podcast once said, I think it should be zero before you got to figure this shit out first before you roll it out to the marketplace.
This is why is Toyota so great at what they do?
Yeah.
They test more than they sell.
Yes.
It's as simple as that.
The TPS is world famous for that very reason. Yeah.
Why are people successful? People are successful because they test before the market.
Yeah.
If you test before the market, you will be successful. You will learn. You will look inwards and you will learn your flaws. That doesn't mean that this thing, the way the media says that is they want you to think bad about yourself. And then but the only way to succeed is to fail. That's the only way to succeed.
Yeah.
And these companies refuse to fail. They put shit on the market. And they let it fail in front of us, and we're tired of it.
Part of it is, though, Johnny, is a government mandate.
Yes.
You must do this.
Yes.
You must get this out onto the marketplace because we don't have enough time.
I think that's what frustrates people the most.
Bingo.
It's in every single slogan.
Yeah.
There's no choice anymore. All they want to do is they just want to inundate you with do this, do that. It started with the Just Do It logo, and now it's just vote. Like
but
now
that's the
don't
idea.
Think,
the idea
just vote.
Is, the idea is just go get this out on the marketplace. We don't have enough time to work out all the flaws. We need to get this out because the world is dying. We need to save the world. No, we need to figure this out first. Trial and error is so important because, to your point, and you're exactly right. I what I've loved about when I did the Lean Six, and I'll name drop it. What the hell?
Please do, but please do because you did it. I didn't do it.
When I did it, when I did it, it taught me a very valuable lesson of listen, If you're going to improve upon an existing process, you have to test out that new process first to make sure that it does work.
Over again.
Over and over and over again.
Over and over and over.
Exactly. And if you do that, guess what? You're going to have success in the long run because you'll be able to see the imperfection, work on it, tweak it, then roll it out. That was probably one of the best things I ever learned when it came to, and it doesn't matter of any science. It could be transportation. It could be simple thing like creating a refund request form internally for a billing team.
Which he did, by the way. And he was really good at it. Taught me a ton about Excel, you know, after COVID.
Which I had to learn on the fly. It was literally like, okay, what could I do to create this? And I was able to do it. And it was literally just, but it took hours upon hours upon hours upon hours to dig in and dig in and dig in to get to that right process. Rolling shit out like this, which I think this was happening. I think this, you see the imperfection, and now all of a sudden it's like you got a bunch of knuckleheads in San Francisco doing what San Franciscans are doing right now, rioting in the streets. Let's just blow up, robotaxis up.
Yes, robotaxis, yes. Yeah.
Which is like, no, you don't do that. You basically get them off the marketplace in a better way.
Well, I'm not mad at you because you did it. I'm just saying, let's not do this all the time.
Exactly. I mean, to be perfectly honest, it's like we've
vote out Newsom. I bet you this shit won't be.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm Larry Elder all day long, so I hope he runs again. If I lived in California, I'd be, voting for him immediately. Gavin Newsom is a piece of garbage. So
would you have Los Angeles County doing exactly what the governor wants you to do in terms of COVID?
That's bad.
4 years in, it's like, dude, that's mask bad. Mandates are so 2020. Like, that's it's 2024 bad. Now. Come on. That's bad. Move on. All right, Johnny. Well,
unplug anything else while we're doing this?
I mean, you're promo guy. What the hell? I mean, you're doing a great job with that, man. I'm like, whoa. I got to do the promo at the end. So, well,
yes, yes.
Promo at the beginning. But it's been great doing this. And since we're talking about futuristic cars and stuff like that.
Yes, yes.
Closing out episode 177 with your boy Elon. Of course, like, we talked about a Cybertruck. Somebody with an Apple Vision Pro tapping, right?
Ahead. Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, I'm doing okay. And no, you're not. You're not doing okay at all.
I've also seen these cyber cars because I live near the Tesla factory. And for work, I take, it's right off of 130, which is their toll road. Of course, Elon is, right there. It's a beautiful, it's so big. I wish I could show you guys pictures. It's as massive as those floor plans we used to see when we were kids. How they're putting them together and changing America. Elon did that for Tesla. Like, damn, it is. I'm jealous when they go to work because I'm like, man, they probably got all the best things in there.
Well, they actually might want to just double check something on their QC quality control because
is that not
rust there, bud?
It's not Elon's fault, but
no. But apparently, Cybertruck owners, basically a couple of them have already mentioned on a couple of forums, hey, just FYI, I'm noticing these orange rust marks showing up on my car. That's something that happened in the 1970s and 80s.
Yes. Yes, it did. Yep. Yep.
The user also shared photos of what they said were small specks of rust on the car's stainless steel body. I'll get it out. The user said the photos were taken after a dish soap wash. Not sure if that's not necessarily 100% accurate.
My question though: if you washed a brand new pan with dish soap every day after you cooked and it rusted 6-8 months in, you'd be pretty pissed, right?
Yeah, I would say. Yeah,
this is $100,000 car. It shouldn't be happening.
It should.
By the way, $100,000 car that is literally bulletproof.
Yeah, is a tank, literally a tank. Yeah, it's developing a reputation of being a tank out there.
Joe Rogan shot a flaming arrow at it on his podcast. and it left a needle-sized dent. And he was less than 6 feet away when he shot it. He was Fauci away from, and he fired this dart in, or this arrow into the thing, and it left a, looked like he just like spit on it. Like it was nothing.
Yeah, just crazy. He talked about, Musk basically talked about, like, essentially, you know, being bulletproof and whatnot. He said, though, in a post on his social media channel, X, Musk said that formerly Twitter, might be able to offer owners an option to get tungsten carbide coating, Johnny, a ceramic material that helps protect it against corrosion.
Free of charge?
No, I think that might be $10,000. That's what I best speculated in pre-production, probably raising that MSRP price to $110,000. But Johnny, rust on the car? I mean, like I said, that was so 1970s, 1980s.
You're absolutely right. I've seen this thing. It's the same as we talk about all the time. It's not ready for market. It's weird. It's a towing thing. Yeah, it's a towing weird thing. It's an anomaly in the car business.
Yeah.
Because I think some manufacturers are doing really well. Like Ford Maverick, that truck, seems to be doing extremely well. It looks like, it looks like one of them.
Might look like this. Yeah, exactly. Like. Yeah.
Exactly what it looks like. It looks like the weird Batmobile. It looks like they're trying to... he's trying to put it out. Not many people are buying. It's $100,000. I think one of the options were 70. Not why would you pay for a truck that doesn't have a bed? Like if I'm buying a truck for $75,000, if I'm buying a truck, it better haul everything and have a bed so I can put all the everything else in that.
I was just going to say, like, if it's like $70,000-$80,000 truck, you better be hauling the Statue of Liberty, probably, right,
Johnny?
I mean,
saying.
Seriously,
like, strongly, without having to put the butt on. Yes,
exactly.
I think this is a big miss by Elon, but like, really, rust, bro. Like, that's your I'm worried about all the electric vehicles at this point, because if he's not putting time and effort into the simple things. You already know the batteries cost too much. You already know the tires wear out. You already know you're not getting the same miles to charge it that they're saying they are.
Yeah.
What else is the electric car industry not telling us? We're now four. Well, is next week going to be five? Are we going to find out again? Toyota's against it.
Yeah.
And they're the only ones that sell hybrid cars worth a shit. So what are we doing in the car in the electric car manufacturing world? What are we doing? That is my question.
It's a great question to raise, because it's like, I know it seems like ever since we turned the calendar 2024, we have found nothing but articles ripping electric vehicles left, right, and center over their durability, over their electric use, over them not being able to start in the cold of winter. Now, I mean, granted, it's the winter time, but I mean, for crying out loud, you've got to be able to start your car somewhere and have the confidence that it's going to start.
Yes.
And if it's
that
not
is,
going
that
to
is
start,
huge.
That's huge. Otherwise, don't you're forget stranded. What the hell are you going to do with that?
Don't
point?
Forget about the expense and the batteries that we don't even know. New Jersey just, you know, put in a law for the disposal of batteries that we talked about last week. Like,
no question.
It's getting to a point where this industry might not survive this.
Yeah. That's the thing.
Toyota
that's
said
the thing.
30.
You're right. Yeah. You're right.
Toyota
the money.
Said
you're...
30% of the marketplace, and I'm going to gloat for a second week in a row because that's what I've been saying the whole time. But we're not even close to being
close
there
to
at
that.
This point.
Yeah.
That I say by Biden's ridiculous 2035 that all electric cars should be on is by 2035 we should have 30% of market share of electric vehicles promptly without issues.
And
that's how different that the administrative state is to reality. And
that's the thing.
Sorry I have to gloat again, but I think I know a thing or two about a thing or two.
I think you're spot on, John, because again, I go back, Newsom wants what? He wants like half of the entire fleet of cars in California to be...
No, all of them. All of them by 2035.
All of them.
Yes. You will not be able to buy a gas-powered car by 2035. Done. In California. Done. That is a ridiculous, insane...
No words on that, but that's... Yeah, it's
well, he's not even going to be, he's not even going to be office by then, so it's not going to come to fruition, to be honest, because how can that dude last any longer than, he's now, already worn out his welcome.
The strides that have been made in the automobile industry over the last 40 years has been nothing short of remarkable.
Absolutely.
Because I remember when my father was driving around, you know, he was saying that basically, Ford was an acronym, fixed or repaired daily. You don't hear that anymore. You don't hear it because it's like literally
agreed.
They're one of the more top, one of the top auto manufacturers in the world, not just in the United States now.
That's what they were back then. Their trucks are phenomenal. Their Transits are taking over.
Yeah.
I drove a work truck, a Ford Transit, for 6 years.
Yep.
It didn't give me trouble up into the 128,000 mile range.
Yeah.
It was reliable as hell. A lot of the work trucks that we drove, we got really good that were Fords. I know a lot of guys that talk very much about the Ford 50, the 450, the 350.
Yep.
I drive as a work truck the Chevy 25 HD. It's a Silverado.
Yeah.
Damn, they've come a long way.
Long way. Yes.
Chevy's come a long way.
Yeah.
Even GMC, I drove a U-Haul across country moving. That GMC felt like it drove better than a common car or a common truck. They are getting way better. They're much better. It's the weird push of this. It seems like Tesla's relying on the electric part of it and not what Ford or Toyota or Lexus or any of them are doing to protect the body of the car. Because isn't that just as important as the battery on the inside? Like,
massively huge, yeah. My point is, though, like what I was saying before was like the automobile industry in just 40 years, it's now common for a lot of cars to have a shelf life of at least a decade old.
Yes.
It doesn't matter like of what manufacturer. For me, I've had Hondas. I've been a Honda guy for years. Really ever since like Dad got an Accord and I was so impressed by it. It's like I've been a Honda guy ever since.
Yeah,
it was
damn
a
Civic good car.
Guy, damn yep. good car. And like I had a V6 that lasted 12 years. Now it's like I've got an Accord Coupe. Sadly, the Accord Coupe's going away in the marketplace, which breaks my heart. But I've had that car now since 2016.
Yeah, but what a great
car. It's 2024.
Then.
It's an 8-year-old car.
Yeah.
And it's like I know that shelf life of that car is going to last another 4 or 5 years. I'm not driving it as much now because now the office is going to be down a mile away. So it's like I'm going to be biking mostly.
Even
but
better.
You know, I go to church with that thing and I visit the parents. I'm going to take the car. So that's going to be less amount of my the point is that's going to last like another 4 or 5 additional years before it's like okay, maybe I need to, you know, think about getting another car again, that kind of a deal. My point is the cars last long. The electric car is like where everything was, kind of like where it was back in the 1950s and 60s. You know they're there, but the push to get them into the marketplace as quickly as humanly possible by 2035 to, you know, for Newsom to say that is utterly ridiculous. It takes generations. It takes at least
absolutely
20, 30 years for that to get fully ingrained. You're asking auto manufacturers to build something, to put it out into the marketplace and duct tape it as we go in order to, you know, in order for it to compete with cars that have been in the marketplace and have been reliable over the last 40 years. That's insane. That is stupid. That's one of the one things that have bothered me about this entire electric vehicle debate. It's like you're just trying to insert this in and hoping this works. You're just throwing this piece of crap out there, hoping that it works, and it won't. It's not going to. It has to take time to evolve and get better. Otherwise, it's like you're going to have at least 10 to 15% of that marketplace either going to get stranded, get involved in an accident, get involved in something where it's like it's going to be harmful to the environment if they ever get into an automobile accident. That's what the one thing that I'm scared to death of with these electric vehicles, Johnny.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if the battery leaks on all over the place. It's like, oh, my God, you got to step back 50 feet or whatever. It's like, forget it. You know, that kind of deal. And the insurance is going to go through the roof as on top of that.
Oh, too. You don't think if you don't think the insurance companies are going to take piece of the pie.
Absolutely.
You're mistaken. Like they are going to buy a Tesla and find out. They will ride you to the end.
Yeah. You'll have like tax incentives, but other than that, like that goes away after 1 year. I mean, those tax incentives, they basically, you're not going to have them in perpetuity for as long as you own the vehicle. Forget that.
Oh, absolutely not. No. It's a 12 month.
Yeah.
Yeah. From all the ones I read, they're only 12 months. Like,
yep.
You can write it off and then you're on your own, bud. You are on your own.
Yeah, exactly. Well, John, I guess that wraps up episode 177 of Two Nips Talking. Great to be able to spend time with you.
We had a good time.
Hell yeah. Absolutely. And with our buddy Steve that's out there, bud, hopefully we'll come away with a couple of wins and you're back here for episode 178. Johnny?
If it's a tournament, I hope you won the tournament. If it's a bunch of games, I hope you won all the games. I don't know. I wasn't listening. I apologize.
Exactly right. Yeah. Johnny, anything final further before we get the hell out of here?
I have absolutely nothing. So
yeah,
I got get out of here.
Yeah.
Enjoy your life.
Absolutely. Talk to you guys next week. Hey, everyone. Thank you for spending time with us here at Two Noobs Talking. If you want more information on what Two Noobs Talking is exactly, the good news is we have a website address. It's located at twonoobstalking.wordpress.com. Links to all of our previous episodes are there, along with some interesting information about the terrific trio of hosts. Please feel free to make a comment about this week's episode too. We would love to hear what you have to say. Have a great week, and we hope to have you back next week for another great episode of Two Noobs Talking. Take care. We'll be right back.